Sheer Factor by Gary Davidson, an audiobook read by a guy doing an impression of Rusty the Rooster from The Friendly Giant. Chapter 6. Opie Day, December 2010.
The intercom buzzed and his secretary, not the administrative kind but the managing kind, told him someone from the Vatican was on the line. She stumbled through the name, but it sounded like Father Blanca.
The Vatican?
Put them through, Andy yelped. Speaker Ashir, said the voice with great exuberance. Deputy Speaker, Andy corrected. For now, my sons, maybe, said the voice, but very soon's. Andy was flattered, but then a lot of people got confused on this point, even those who understood what a speaker was. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, he said. Andrew, the voice dialed it back to 11. This is Father Fernando Oqueriz Brana. Andy bolted upright. Andy remembered Father Brana from his first trip to the Vatican years ago and before he got to politics. Well, as a politician. Father, Andy yelped. Of course, I remember you. What can I do for you, sir? It was too late for Andy to learn. One never asks a priest that question. Then, it seemed a lifetime ago that Andy had first met Father Brana. It was 2002 and the only time he had visited Rome, a trip that had been at the invite of... Oh, dog biscuits. Andy chided himself. Now that he thought about it, he couldn't remember who exactly had invited him. Was it while he was working for Stockwell Day's campaign? Or was it when he worked the first Unite the Right campaign? He remembered the phone was at that small desk he had at the back of the filing room. He also remembered when it had rung. The person on the line was someone from the office of the Archdiocese of Ottawa. Andy remembered that. They'd recently learned a good Catholic boy was working for the leader of a conservative-like party, and they were trying to fill seats with influencers of tomorrow on a ceremony at the Vatican. Someone had suggested Andy.
The Vatican, Vatican?
Andy said with disbelief. The one in Rome? There was a pause, and then politely the person started up again. Yes, sir? There was something about the tone of that comment that was familiar to Andy. It was the same sort of tone he remembered his algebra teacher using when he tried to answer a math question, despite having never studied. That irked him a bit, but the fact someone actually thought he might amount to something one day, enough to call him an influencer of tomorrow, and they weren't his grandparents. Well, that was enough to push the irkness thingy out of his mind. Wow, Andy thought. Then he wondered if maybe the person who suggested him for this actually were his grandparents. His mom's grandma was pretty active in the church, so you never knew. The Pope himself would be canonizing the founder of Opus Dei, a man named Cardinal Jose Maria Escriva, the voice continued. And we wondered if you could attend. Opus Dei, Andy shrugged, was an invite to the Vatican. A chance to meet the Pope. He had no idea what sect of that this Opus Dei was, but hell, he'd be there. Heck yeah, he said. I'll be there. He went with a group, and they had both an in-flight handler and a local handler. A lot of them had been herded from the airport to the hotel, which was right across the road from the back gate of the Vatican. They were shown around Rome at night, and Andy thought how great it would have been if Jill had been able to come with him. But then he didn't know her name yet because he hadn't met Jill, and he'd only had sex once with that one drunk girl in university. And Andy didn't think she was even Catholic because of how that had ended. The next day, they were loaded into an old white school bus and then driven across the street through the checkpoint into the business end of the Vatican. When stepping out of the bus, each of them was given a handler, which was a good thing because almost everyone in the Vatican was speaking gibberish. With some seminary student as his guide, Andy followed the base tour, walked a bit too quickly through the Sistine Chapel and then into the back enclave where they were lined up for the receiving line. He was put between a chubby little lawyer guy from America named Bill Barr and some swarthy-looking dude from the south of Italy whose name was lost in Andy's head the moment it was spoken to him. They waited and waited. Finally, Bill Barr turned to Andy and introduced himself. You're one of us, huh? He said. No, Andy blurted out. I'm not American. Why would you think that? Do I talk funny or something? One of us Catholics, Barr said. Jesus, he blasphemed. Anyone listening to you can tell you're a Canuck. Phew, Andy thought. His dad still had his American accent, and Andy always worried people would think he was American. Particularly the people he worked for who seemed to think dual citizenship was some sort of sin or something. Andy shook his head at their distrust of Americans. The U.S. was their number one trading partner, not some rogue state that had invaded Canada 3 times or had an official invasion plan on the books or ran numerous elections on the basis of removing their northern neighbor's sovereignty through some Canadian phobic 5440 or bus slogan. They were Canada's friends, just like people who helped Andy succeed were his friends. Andy's guide nudged him from his internal monologue as a row of priests started coming up the reception line. That is Father Javier Escaveria Rodriguez. He is the prelate of Opus Dei. All Andy could think about every time the group's name was mentioned was that cute little dim-witted penguin character from the comic strip Bloom County. Wasn't necessarily a bad thing. It helped keep him nodding and smiling as he shook Father Rodriguez's hand. Father Javier reached his hand out and took Andy in both of his, spoke to him in Italian or Spanish or some other gibberish. The guide translated what the father was saying. At least Andy hoped so. My calling, droned the guide while Father Javier spoke, is to provide effective help to the church in her urgent evangelization of present-day society. That's nice, Andy said with that stupid little grin he had that always gave away he didn't understand what was being explained to him. Father Javier continued, as did the guide, I am concerned for culture and the sciences, for the defense of life, the family and marriage, and the formation of pastoral care of young people. Sorry, said Andy to the guide. I still don't quite understand what that means. The guide leaned in close to Andy's ear and whispered forcibly, We need to stop the little shits from aborting babies, getting divorces, and having mixed marriages. Black and white? Andy replied in shock. No, dumbass, the guy said. Catholics and heathens. Oh, Andy nodded. Yeah, right. And he continued nodding directly to Father Javier. Of course, Monsignor. The guide face-palmed himself. You sure seem to know a lot about these people, Andy said. Do you spend much time with the Pope? The guide looked at him. Yeah, he said sarcastically. We're all golf buddies. Andy was pretty sure he meant golf and that this guy was mocking him. And this is Father Fernando Casiobran, Vicar General, the prelate of Opus Dei. The strange little dude, who was Andy's guide, motioned to a younger man moving up the receiving line. One day, he'll be prelate. How can you be so sure, Andy said. His guide looked at him. You really don't understand how anything works, do you? Father Brown also began speaking to Andy in Italian, or Spanish, or whatever the gibberish was. But then, on realizing Andy was grinning like an idiot, he leaned in and said, We have great plans for you, my boy. This priest moved off, and Andy turned to his guide. Okay, he started. You're right. I don't have any idea how anything works. I don't even know why I'm here. Enlighten me. The guide leaned in. One day, years from now, North America will be united, and if a good Roman Catholic is going to be in charge of that, they'll need to have the right papers. The guide then winked at Andy. Somehow these people knew he was dual citizen. The Vatican knew something and most Canadians didn't. Yeah, it had to be his mom's mother. And now, again. We'd like you to host a luncheon for Monsignor Fred Dolan, Father Branagh continued, bringing Andy out of his reverie. He's our vicar for Canada. Father, Andy nodded while speaking. I know very well who the head of Opus Dei Canada is. Then you'll do it to my son, Branagh confirmed. Andy paused. I'm in a rather sensitive area to be doing that. Our culture has a sort of separation of church and state thing. That's America, Andrew, Branagh chided him. Canada has no such rule. Well, not officially, Andy stammered. He hated confrontation, particularly with people of authority. Particularly people of authority who once spanked him in a secret ceremony at the Vatican. Shame on anyone who has a problem with this, Father Branagh said. The thing is, Father, I can do it, but I'm going to take a lot of flack for it. Andy would have to get the boss to sign off on it for sure. It would be political suicide if this got out and the boss hadn't sanctioned it. We're not asking you to recruit converts, Branagh said. Just invite the Catholics, who are also in your parliament. Andy said he'd try, and then he called the boss's secretary. Apparently being the deputy speaker got him through faster than just being a backbencher. He told Mr. Harper what the father had asked. We're all about religious freedom, Andrew, the boss said. Just don't cross into policy, and that's fine. What if the other side asks about it? They both knew when it came to heathens and hypocrites, the only people who had more than the liberals and the NDP were on their own side. Blast them, the boss said forcefully. It was enough to make Andy jump in his seat. Tell them you're praying for their souls, and if that doesn't work, condemn them to hell. Well, Andy thought, he could do a tiny bit of fire and brimstone. After all, he'd already taken some flack from the liberals over his anti-choice voting and statements about gay marriage being like a dog's tail. Yeah, he'd do this. And if anyone had a problem with a bunch of like-minded conservative Catholics meeting with the Canadian Catholic representative of a secret international organization, well then, boo-hoo!